Hey everyone, welcome to The Break-Ins. This is episode 58. A little bit different format than we have done in the past. We had a long episode with Scott the last time, and we decided to cut it into a two-parter, so we didn't have just a really long episode like we had done in the past, and we wanted to shorten and keep them short like we had been doing all year long. So we're going to bring you in with part two, where Scott's still telling us about the many conventions that he's going to be doing. You know, Scott's like a little long-winded, so that's why this is going on for such a long time. And yeah, we just really kind of enjoyed talking to him, and so kept him on here, and probably try to get him back again because he's just an enjoyable guy to have. We love having the guy on here. So we're going to bring you in with part two of our in-depth interview with Scott D.M. Simmons and everything that he's got going on. So let's see what he has to say.
Sweaty bodies everywhere, hands in the air like we don't care. Cause we came to have so much fun now. Bet someone here might get some now. If you're not ready to go home, well, can I get a hell no? Cause we're gonna go all night till we see the sunlight. So la di di da day, we like to party, dancing with my lady, doing whatever we want. Cause this is our house, these are our. And we won't stop. Can't you see it's we who own the night? Can't you see it's we who bought the life? And we can't stop. And we won't stop. We run things they don't run. We don't take nothing from nobody. Yeah, yeah.
There was a show that I'd love to do again. It's called Jedi Con. Those guys are so nice. It does conflict with like some event that I would really like to go to. These are the big shows that I wanted to go to that I was telling you about, Bruce.
Yeah.
Mike, I don't know if you were on at that point.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, not saying I'm going to do all these, but I was kind of thinking, you know, again, to promote my book, that I might do these.
Which somehow you need to set aside time to actually work on that book, too.
Yeah, well, like I said, the 5 or 6 months in between shows would be...
Yeah.
Hey, he's drawing at every con that I've seen him at, dude, so I'm thinking he's still working on it.
Actually, you know, at Cincinnati, I was working on my book as well. Well, you know, I was sketching, like, throughout the days, you know, like, working on it. And people got to see me draw that way, too. And then I got sketch commissions, and then, you know, so... Kind of helps out. what was I gonna say? Okay, so these aren't necessarily ones that I like. I'm not confirmed for any of these shows. It's just shows I want to do. But I was thinking, okay, you know, when I said Shannon, I want to do some big shows. My wife's like, you mean like San Diego? I'm like, well, San Diego is great. I think I would get lost there as like an independent. Yeah. But also for the cost of like flying out there, being in the hotels, being there for 5 days or whatever. I can do two shows, you know, that are, you know, equally as big or, yeah, maybe a little bit smaller and closer. So with that, I was thinking Toronto's Fan Expo, which is in August. Oh. 40,000 people supposedly attend that event.
Have like, you haven't been there?
No, I've never been there.
It's amazing. I went in 06, and it's great because it's a mix and mash of like just so many different things. Like they have like like you know they have the comics, they have a gaming, they have a horror. Rue Morgue puts their horror convention on there, and then there's like an anime con, and there was a sci-fi one too. And the year that I went, it was like, I mean, it was like star studded. I'm talking like for comics at the time. So you think 06, Jeff Johns, Jim Lee, Steve McNiven, and Terry Dodson. So like, you know, pretty big guys there. And then like Nimoy and Shatner were doing a special thing there. Jim Lee was late because he had to go meet Nimoy and Shatner, and we're like, and we were just all in line making jokes like, oh hey, Jim Lee's late on something else, that's pretty badass. Okay. And then I'm trying to think, like just like all these voice actors from like all these different anime things. And then I'm trying to think, who the big horror people that they had there was. That like we went to like an independent like movie thing. Two of my buddies and her, because we were looking at doing like an independent film at the time, and they were just talking about like, you know, use stuff in your city, you know, like just all these different things, and they're like smaller guys. Like one of the guys' name was Rusty Nails, and he did the movie Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, and which is a hilarious movie. I mean, it's crazy. It's a pretty funny movie though. But yeah, no, it's great because there's so much to do. Plus, I would go there early because the amount of stuff you could do in Toronto. I mean, I would move to Toronto in a heartbeat. That's the most beautiful city I've ever been into in my life.
Wow. And they shoot a lot of like movies and TV shows up there, don't they?
I think it's a lot of British Columbia actually.
It's a shame that it's in Canada.
I don't think it's really a shame. Oh, I'm telling you, it's nice.
Oh, Canada.
Bruce, we'll make a trip up there next year. It'll be fun.
I don't like Canada.
What is your problem with Canada?
I've made some pretty good enemies out of Canadians.
Who? Like, aside from Todd McFarlane, who else?
I can't go into it. There are people that worked with Ralphie at Kinko's.
Okay.
I have mortal enemies in the park system up there.
Fair enough. I mean, but literally the amount of stuff to do in Toronto is amazing. There's probably one of the coolest comic book stores I've ever been into. They have like, I don't know, there's just so much to do in there. I had one of the best breakfasts I've ever had in my life up there. So, like, well, I'm not joking, dude. My whole experience up there was orgasmic. It was amazing.
The eggs ate themselves.
I don't even remember what it was, but it was like eggs that were cooked on top of like toasted toasted bagels, and it had like bacon and cheese and all this other crap in it, and I was just like, like the bagels are made there fresh in the morning and everything like that, and I'm like, this is the best food ever. we had a blast. It was great. Cool. I would definitely, if you can get the Fan Expo, Scott, I would definitely go.
What else, Scott?
Well, that's one of the ones that, like, family is not near Toronto.
Right.
But Shane and I never had our honeymoon, and we wanted to honeymoon in Canada. Obviously, that's not going to be a honeymoon, but if we tack on a couple of days, maybe we could, like, do something really romantic up there. So.
Oh, I mean, there's tons of stuff to do up there. You'll love it.
Yeah. Cool, thanks.
No problem.
Let's see. the one that conflicted with the one that conflicted with JediCon was Heroes in Charlotte.
Hmm. Where's JediCon at versus Charlotte versus the one?
It was the same day. JediCon's in West Virginia and Charlotte's in. Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heroes is in Charlotte, yeah.
Now, how Jedi specific is JediCon?
It's all Star Wars.
That's it, 100%.
Yeah, Star Wars Collectors Club.
Well, you'd be like a name amongst names there, though, then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was the guest up there, like, this year. My dad, out here in Ohio, had surgery, so. I went in his place.
Oh, okay.
And there was extremely nice people. I loved it. I had a great time. Unfortunately, it's the only convention recently that I didn't have any camera with me. I was like, no. So, I don't know if you've seen any pictures of me, actually they're on my Facebook page, holding up a picture of a gentleman and a woman, kind of looks like Mara Jade and Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
But with their heads on it, that's from JediCon.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
So. But Heroes down in Charlotte, we'd love to do that. But the ones that we definitely have to go to, New York Comic Con and Boston Comic Con. Those are two that I think Boston changed from April or whatever they used to be to August. In light of
the marathon running.
So
they moved to August, and then I guess they got a lot of responses that August was a great time for them, so they've stuck in August, which is yeah, usually it conflicted or got close to Chicago's date, and I could never get out there. And now with it being in August, actually, Shannon's family lives out in Rhode Island, and I've got family up in the Massachusetts and New Hampshire area, so it would be a great show to go to.
The only couple cons I can think of that you haven't mentioned that you're even thinking about going would be WonderCon, EmeraldCon, or was it EmeraldCon? And then BaltimoreCon. Emerald City, thank you. And then Baltimore. And I hear great things about Baltimore, too.
Baltimore was actually the first show I ever set up at in 2003.
Okay.
That's when I was.
And you've never been back.
If that answers your question, Mike.
2030. Wait, what? How old was I?
You were 2030. 2030. That's a year. That's not an age.
That's not how that works.
I'm not going to say how old I was. But, yeah, Baltimore was my first show I ever set up at, and I'd love to go back. Unfortunately, it's so close to Cincinnati, I do so much work for that show.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'd be like, yeah, that Dragon Con, it's like, ugh.
Wow.
I'd be totally dead. By September, I'd just be like, you know, out in the backyard where Cincinnati Comic Expo takes place and 6 feet under.
6 feet under the expo. That may be the title of this episode.
No, but WonderCon and Emerald, like, you know, I've always heard great things about them. But again, Mike, it's just like San Diego, it's the cost of flying out there. With Spokane, of course, it's, you know, I'm going to see my dad. You know, and there's a show that happens to be there. I just time it around the show. My dad will always know what time of year I'll be out there. You know, this way, hey, I'll be back in May. You know,
right?
Just kind of a date that he can hang on to, and I did well there this year, the first year I did it, and Superman got a lot of attention, and fans from Seattle came out to see me.
Was how many issues have you sold in your book?
Of what?
Of Supermom, how many issues have you sold?
Like, of the trade, or?
Yeah, sure, in general. Like, I guess I'm just curious, like, what kind of response you get, like, that you're talking about, that you get from it, like, do you know how many copies of it you've sold, like, issues versus trade or anything?
Well, the trade just came out of Cincinnati, and, like, you know, part of the problem was, well, not problem, but Scott Bachman was also selling it, so they see it at his table, come over, like, with it and say, can you sign this for me? So, you know, I don't know how many copies he sold. I sold a few, and I sold quite a few at St. Louis.
Okay.
But then again, I don't have a big stock like Scott does.
I get so you.
I think I have a few left. But yeah, it's done really well. A lot of good reaction, usually, you know, from everybody, but, like, you know, a lot of moms walk by and be like, you know, come back and go, oh, this is about me, you know.
Like, I was going to say, I mean, the fact that it is called Super Mom, does that make it easier to sell to that demographic? But obviously it does.
Yes.
Because that's, I mean, a lot of those kids, they are dragging their moms along, so it's smart to try to sell something to them. They're the ones with the money.
Yeah, you're tapped into a whole new demographic that nobody else is. Bruce, we got to work on something now.
That's what Scott Bachman was, you know, thinking about. Like, was that, you know, there was an untapped demographic, you know, that people were seemingly ignoring was mothers. And I don't know. I mean, it appeals to everybody. I mean, I think, you know, it's action and humor and family moments. It's one of the joys of working on the book, you know.
I read the trade in one sitting, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it. I'm curious what's going to happen next.
Thanks, Bruce.
The art. You're what's that?
I was kidding. I'll tell you what happens next.
don't spoil it. No, it's it's a great book. It's funny when it needs to be funny. You know, there's enough of a mystery there to pull you through everything. The art, your art's good. I mean, obviously your art's good, but the consistency of it just blows my mind. I mean, looking from the first page to the last page, you're like, okay, clearly that's Simmons doing what Simmons does. You never sway. You never get wrapped up to anything. You don't focus on, oh, this would be an awesome couch. sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, this horse head's going to be sweet, and I forget about all the other things in the panel.
You're not the only one who does that too, by the way. I've listening to a bunch of people on these podcasts. There's a bunch of people who are like all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to draw this phone so badass, it's going to be amazing.
And then you forget everything else.
Yeah,
but Scott never has that problem
because Scott can balance it out apparently.
I mean, there's a sequence here where it's one of the characters, and she's ripping a notepad apart, trying to undo some zip ties. It's four panels of hands, and you're like, that could be awful.
Yeah.
But no, there's no narration. You're like, okay, this is clearly what she's doing. It's great storytelling. And you draw the most adorable noses.
I don't know when that started. There's little lines that I do above the.
Is that a Dennis the Menace?
No, it's just something that I don't know. I just started at one point.
I've seen that, but you're sure it's not, what's the guy's name? Hank Ketchum.
I just started doing it. I'm not borrowing it. I mean, if it's an influence, it's subconsciously.
I like to do like the curly Q elbows. I stole that from Dennis the Menace, I won't lie.
Curly Q elbows, it's cute.
Those are awesome. But no, I really enjoyed like Supermom. I wanted it. What's
you didn't like my couch? Wasn't that the most awesome couch?
I'm flipping through. I'm like, that's a great couch. And you know, there's this, it's like, okay, and here she is on a plane. How can you tell she's on a plane? Because it looks like she's on a fucking plane. You don't have to. There's no wide shots. There's no establishing. There's no narration explaining. And she got on the plane later that day.
Oh, that's true. Thanks.
You just totally service the story. It's awesome. I don't. Besides, you know, buying a copy for everyone listening and handing it to them, I don't know what else I could say about it. It's. I was confused why you worked Scott into his own comic.
What he did? What?
It looks a little like Scott,
like himself.
Bachman.
Oh, Bachman! I gotcha.
I did ask if Leon was supposed to look like him, but he's like,
he said yes.
Leon's Mexican.
Well, it's a black and white comic. It's a guy with dark hair. I don't know. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, that's Scott Bachman's. He's in his own comic. Does he get that a lot? Or am I the only person to ever say this?
I thought maybe Leon was supposed to be kind of a stand-in for him.
Yeah.
Leon.
He's the writer, and he had a beard in the past. And that's totally Scott Bachman.
Scott Bachman.
No, I love it. Mike, you should check it out.
I definitely will. I probably should buy something from Scott. He bought my book, so, you know.
There you go.
Or we gave it to you. Yeah, you know, it's whatever.
Buy his.
Do you want
I will money? I will buy his. Yeah, he does work. I should support him, so.
Now, let me ask you this, Scott. Your panel breakdowns, you don't really break outside of the panel that often. Is that a conscious thing? You intentionally try to keep things contained inside the panel? You don't have characters like arms and legs flailing about outside, or you do it occasionally, but you do it mainly when people are in midair.
Yeah, or like when there's an action sequence, I guess. But yeah, it doesn't happen too much, does it? Yeah.
And you tend to at least one panel bleeds on every page, where it goes off of the page.
Yeah, you're making him self-conscious now or something, or what?
Well, no, it's like, okay, because I'm really poor, and, you know, and I worry about how much things are printing, I never bleed because I'm like, well, that's going to cost more because they charge you per cut.
Right.
So did you go into it thinking, you know, hey, the other Scott's paying for this, I'll do whatever the hell I want, or did you just think this service is the story?
Yeah, the difference is that the trade paperback and the single issues were printed through two different printers, and there's different sizes. And I think this the trade is a little shorter. I'd almost have to grab one of the books. Of course, this was done as webcomic first.
Oh, yep, you can tell because I just saw a page here where like the bottom row, the bottom of an E in Else is cut off.
Okay. Well, but so it's on the web is like I usually do my pages at final when I give it to Scott is 7x10.
Okay,
which is I believe that's what it is. 10.5, excuse me. And I usually have black on the top, the bottom, and the sides. It's just something I started doing, I think, like when I did Halloween Man inks, is I started doing black gutters. And I like how it like kind of pops the artwork a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because black and white, like instead of having white gutters where it all starts just looking like a bunch of lines, that the panels kind of pop off a little bit. So that there should be black on most of those pages around there, but like gets cut off a little bit on the trade.
Well, whether, you know, a happy printing error or intentional, it looks good.
Thank you. I think he might have had to move a couple of panels down or up or whatever.
Like it's, I'm trying to think, like it's dynamic without being in your face. You know, it's not screaming at you. It's just, it's a nice, consistent, the dulcet yell. You know?
Dulcet yell.
The dulcet yell of Supermom.
Wow.
I really enjoy it. And it was one of those things, I was like, I've never bought one of your books, Scott. And then you said, well, I bought yours. I'm like, okay then, sold. I won't lie. You completely guilted me into it. I'm like, well, now I got to read the damn thing. And I really, really enjoyed it. It's on my wife's short list of things to read right after she finishes first Hawkeye trade. She's going to get into this.
Oh, the
My Life is a Weapon or whatever it is.
Yeah, with David Aja.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Anyways.
I'm sure Mike will read this eventually, too.
As soon as I get done watching Mulan and Superman, or The Man of Steel, I'm sorry.
Wow, Mulan. Yeah.
Well, no, that was the running gag last time, is that like Mike? It took Mike 10 years to watch Mulan, and now he's finally going to watch Man of Steel, and I'm going to go see Superman Batman before I'm going to go see watch Man of Steel.
When that comes out, and I inevitably bootleg it, I'll have you over and we can break the law together.
Oh, cool. And you know what? While we're at it, we might as well just record ourselves breaking the law. We'll do a podcast review of it or something.
Mystery Science Theater style.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be dope. We should totally do that. We should totally do that.
Okay, I think we touched on everything on our list today, didn't we, fellas?
Yeah, I think we might have violated a few things, too.
Okay, let's. You guys just want to say our goodbyes here, or you want to come back for another break?
We'll come back for a quick break.
Okay, Scott, you good to go?
Yeah, let's do a break.
Okay, be right back.
What happens when you visit the most attractive website on the planet? You get Pritchlapped. Pritchlapped.com, the online home of attractive game comic artist Chris Pritchard. It's attractive.
Why, thank you.
Okay, we're back to say a little goodbye here, and thank you again, Mr. Simmons, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Adams. Mr.
Oh, he is?
Oh, he is.
That's going to confuse everyone again. I'm not Irish. If anything, I'm French.
So, Bruce, anything you got coming up in the pipeline right now?
No, I mentioned to Scott earlier. I may skip some conventions just to spend more time working on the books.
There you go.
I'm feeling really guilty selling prints of other people's work. I just want to have some of my own books.
Right.
Besides that, I'm looking for another job. So.
I get you. I too am looking for a job because I am a. I feel awful because I feel like in such a creative rut because I'm just – every day I come home and I'm just like, I'm just beat. You know what I mean? And like, I think of these things when I'm at work and I come home and it's like, man, that's awesome. And then I fall asleep. Then it's gone. So it's
just defeated by life.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, and that's the big thing is that like, and I was telling Liz, my wife, this the other day, and I was like, I need a creative outlet. I'm like, because I don't have that right now. You know what I mean? And it's one of the things where if I can get a job where I have a better schedule and I can actually sleep again, then I feel like I could be a lot better off. So that's I'm working on that right now.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you, and same to you, sir. And Scott, when's your next issue of Supermom? Do you have another issue of Supermom coming out soon?
It's a page a week, isn't it, Scott?
It's a page a week. There's a break right now. Scott was I think he's still working on his second novel that actually is about Supermom, but like it's called the first novel was Paragon of Animals.
Okay.
And not for kids, where Supermom is. But so he's been working on that second novel and thus hasn't been able to write yet, get into all of issue 5. But it is continuing. It's an ongoing strip now. And so we found it very successful. We really enjoy working with each other. In the meantime, there's artwork up on the website. The new issue 5 will start sometime in October or November.
You can't just say the website. You got to give us a URL here.
OurSupermom.com.
There you go.
Yep. And also besides just artwork, there is a 3-page story that we're doing that'll happen before issue 5 goes live.
Well, have you guys thought about doing something for a free comic book day with Supermom?
Push
people through the trade. He's probably thought about it.
I'm definitely going to be doing something for Free Comic Book Day for Knights of Power. I know that.
Cool. I'm excited about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. We talked about this a while ago, right? The Knights of Power.
Yep.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep, not a problem.
Thank you for remembering a conversation you had with me.
Hey, every now and then the alcohol slips out of my brain and I can actually remember something. It's all right. Now I sound like a raving alcoholic and I'm really not, so.
I tell you, sometimes I think about starting and working on issue 2 before issue 1. Just because issue 2 would probably time out around Free Comic Book Day. And then that way at least it would all be ready, you know. I don't know, it's so silly.
Well, it's a problem I have with my own stuff is if I think too far ahead, then when I go back to catch up with my thoughts, I get bored.
Yeah, because you want to get up to that awesome part, and you're like, I don't want to write this shit.
Exactly.
Issue 2 just stands alone pretty well, and it encompasses a lot of the things that the book's about. Where issue 1, has a lot of action, and it also sets up all the characters. Issue 2 is where you're kind of oh yeah, I know these characters. You know, well, issue 2 comes first, then you don't.
Swap the issues, man.
Huh?
Swap the issues. Put 2 as 1 and 1 as 2. Just do the flashback of explaining who they are. Do that James Bond type of beginning where you just throw the reader into this situation. You're like, here's some interesting ideas. Here's some interesting characters doing some things. If you're excited about that and want to know more about it, buy the next issue.
That's kind of what we did with Tim Risen a little bit. It's like the first issue is just kind of like, oh, hey, this is the later days, and then all of a sudden it's like issue 2 is like, oh, this is the origin, by the way.
Yeah, but you guys really got away with that because it was time travel. But
yep.
There's TV shows do that, Scott. They drop you in the middle of something, and then they go back and like, well, man, here's the explanation.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite things that they do in shows where they you see something, and it's like a guy standing over a dead body and a cop's running, and then it's like – and you know, that's the cold intro, and then it starts up, and then it's like 6 hours earlier, and it shows how you get to that point. I'm a big fan of that kind of storytelling, actually. I think Ed Brubaker uses it a lot with his when he was doing Captain America. I think he did that a lot, actually. Anyways, yeah. So that, I think you can definitely get away with doing it, Scott.
Brian K. Vaughan does stuff like that.
Yeah, because Saga has a lot of that.
What do they call that? It's not Chekhov's pistol. It's some other writing thing. Is it Chekhov's pistol? Where you're like, hey, this happened. You want to know how it happened?
He's Chekhov's phaser.
Damn you. There's more than just Star Trek in the world.
No, there's not.
I think
everything is compared to Star Wars and Star Trek, remember?
It is. It's true. Those are words of wisdom. So, Scott, your site. What's the URL, buddy? Lay it on us.
Oh, I'm going to be revamping it. Actually, it's kind of hidden right now, but like the site's still there, but like the new site has a whole bunch of links, a whole bibliography and everything that hasn't gone live yet, but it will. Maybe by the time this airs.
There you go.
ScottDMSimmons.com.
Awesome.
ScottDMSimmons.com.
Nobody caught any of that. Dude, we have a lot of potheads that watch this show.
They watch it too. That's how.
Exactly. That's Scott, have you not listened to the mother bong references that we put in this show? Yeah, it's a podcast, right? Exactly. They blaze up the Kirby Crackle and the mother bong. That's what happens. So.
Last episode, 801 people.
Boom. Get that crackle going, Bruce.
And I think Scott is still like in the top five search terms that bring people to BruceOHughes.com.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Scott.
It's so weird because it's like people search for Scott D.M. Simmons interview and then they listen to one of our episodes. And I'm like, they were so disappointed.
It's really just Scott searching himself and going to the website. That's all.
Yeah, just trying to find it again. Dive in break-ins. Or go to Bruce's site.
we may change the name. We'll see. We'll just call it The Brokens.
The Brokens. We've had that joke going on for a while, I think, now. So.
Well, I think it's come true.
Maybe.
And with that, we bid you all farewell. Hopefully we will be back in 2 weeks with another episode.
Yep.
Or an apology letter. Maybe. One or the other.
Maybe both.
Hey, this doesn't cost you anything, so you can't complain. Right.
Free oral for everybody.
Thanks a lot. Most of us are on Twitter, Facebook, and all that. Scott D.M. Simmons. You just do a search for Scott D.M. Simmons. Mike Adams. He goes by the name Teddy Adams on the internet.
Yes, some places.
And BruceOHughes.com. Probably where you're listening to this or on iTunes, which I hate, so make sure you leave a negative comment.
There you go.
Thanks a lot. If you're looking for trouble, you can find me on the internet.
Bye. Have a good night, yes.
Don't break his heart, his achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'll understand. Oh, don't break his heart, his achy, breaky heart. I just don't think he'll understand. She won't stop. Can't you see it's she who owns the night? Can't you see it's she who bought the life? But she can't stop. And she won't stop. She runs things they don't run. She don't take nothing from nobody. Yeah, yeah.